Hello, it's good to be with you. I wanted to share with you something. This video is the product of a serendipitous encounter with Michelle and Adam Gardner. Michelle and Adam Gardner are RCC members who are in the master's program in counseling at Divine Mercy University. And for one of their class assignments, they had to interview a Catholic influencer. I guess that's me, a Catholic influencer, although I find that a little odd. About the underlying anthropological, the underlying theoretical, the underlying important premises of that influencer's work. And so they wanted to ask about what really drives the RCC? What's at the heart of the RCC? Why does the RCC exist? What is the model of change and so forth within the RCC? And their questions were brilliant. They brought out such a wonderful conversation, and I wanted to share that with you. We had recorded this so that they wouldn't have to take so many notes, but they were so gracious in allowing me to be able to use this as another way to try to explain what goes on at the core of what we do in the resilient Catholics community. So I wanted to be able to share this with you. A lot of thanks to Adam and Michelle for their willingness to allow this to be shared. And without further ado, let's go to the interview. Just so you know, you can go back to it and you can generate a transcript or whatever if you want.
Oh, awesome. Let's go.
But yeah, so the underlying, if you want to get down to the bottom of everything, love heals. That's the summary in two words. And the love is three loves. We might think of, three loves. The love from God, the love from others, and ordered self-love. Within the love of others and the love of God, there are two primary loves that I look at. That is the love of God the Father and the love of Mary our Mother. These are our primary parents. These are our spiritual parents. And these are the parents that are going to make up for everything we didn't get in the parenting from our earthly parents. So they knew before time began every deficit, every harm, every attachment injury, every relational wound from the beginning of time, only allowed, God only allowed those things to happen in order to draw greater good from them. And so from an anthropological perspective, love heals. These are the three loves. They're all necessary. Love from God, love from neighbor, and I would include in neighbor the communion of saints. And love, ordered self-love. All are indispensable. And none of them can be substituted for the other. The particular mechanism of change, then, is that I look at in Souls and Hearts is how do we permit, how do we release the constraints against being close to those loves? So the primary work in human formation in Souls and Hearts is to release the constraints, to tolerate being known, seen, heard, understood, to tolerate being loved, so that each part of us gets his or her or its attachment and integrity needs met. You guys are familiar with the six attachment needs and the six integrity needs. And so that all parts can participate in that experience of being loved, be healed through that love, and then participate in loving God and neighbor and self by reflecting that love back. And so, to that end, what we're doing is we're focusing on the self being the innermost self being the leader, the guide, that active inner leader. The conductor of the orchestra, or the leader of the jazz band, or the captain of the ship, however you frame that. And so, like, allowing or bringing together the parts, and also being the conduit through which we receive the love of God and the love of Mary. Satan will approach parts piecemeal. He wants division and fragmentation. He has no problem. He prefers to reach out to a part. Does not want the innermost self involved. Hopes that he can influence that part, and then hopes that part will take over and blend and dominate the system and lead the person away from God. Innermost. Wow. The God, on the other hand, being much more interested in this cooperative, collaborative, freely chosen, freely willed, will approach the parts through the innermost self.
Wow.
So what we're doing is, because sometimes you'll see this in Protestant circles, they'll have sort of a Jesus take the wheel approach. They really want to substitute Jesus in the role of the innermost self. I don't think that's a good thing. We want the innermost self to be there almost like I said, the conduit, in order to be the point of contact, to help shepherd, to be the secure internal attachment figure. So now I'm bringing in some attachment theory. The innermost self is the secure internal attachment figure that can often bridge the relationship between the parts and God, the Father, Mary, our Mother, Jesus, Holy Spirit. So then bringing in psychodynamic theory, I see each of these parts as having a personality. I don't believe we have a single uniform personality, and you can know that, you can see that through episode 116 of Interior Integration for Catholics. Episodes 116 and 117 of that podcast kind of get into my arguments against a single unified homogenous personality, or what Schwartz will call a monomind. But that each of these parts is a distinct constellation, you know, of feelings and thoughts and interpersonal style and a way of looking at the world and you know, an idea of God and so on and so forth, right? So in my work at Souls and Hearts, I look at each of these parts as having a personality because I'm trained psychodynamically. I'm bringing that in, that attachment theory inside, with the secure, the innermost self being the secure attachment figure for the parts, to help them establish secure attachments to others, especially the spiritual confidants. And then, you know, it's all sort of under the general idea of parts and systems that's really informed by internal family systems, among other parts-based approaches, including ego state therapy and some DNMS and some schema therapy and so forth, but primarily internal family systems. So that's how I would initially respond to the question.
Mm-hmm. So is the mission with Souls and Hearts is to help influence people towards this way of living within which love is the healer and all these other things that you said?
Yeah, so there's three major themes that we think about in Souls and Hearts. The first is relationship, the second is identity, and the third is love. Those three. And then what we're looking at for the sort of specific overarching goals, the first is to tolerate being loved throughout your whole being, all of your parts. The second is to embrace your identity as a beloved little son or daughter of God. And the third is to reflect that love back to God, neighbor, and other. God, neighbor, and self. Yeah, God, neighbor, and self. Carry out the two great commandments. The means by which we do that is working in this realm of human formation, in the natural realm, not the spiritual realm so much, but the natural realm. And we use a constraint-release model. The constraint-release model being that we have this capacity within us already, God-given, and that it's not about striving and overpowering and conquering ourselves so much as it is releasing the constraints that parts have on these toward these three overarching goals. And so the primary constraints to be released are the burdens of the exiles and the extreme roles of the protectors. And so where we're focusing is on unblending and unburdening on the sort of six F's. I'm imagining you guys can look up those six F's or you know what they are. And on integrating so that the innermost self and the natural level can lead and guide, because we think that so many spiritual problems really are simply spiritual consequences of human formation deficits and constraints.
You say that, okay, we can listen to that again. Spiritual that problems.
We really think that overcoming these, not overcoming, but like the constraint releases around unburdening and unblending enable that integration. And so with that integration, you're going to get increased flexibility. You know, rigidity is going to go down, chaos is going to go down. You're going to get much better self-regulation, parts working together collaboratively, cooperatively under the leadership and guidance of a respected and trusted innermost self. And what we see on the spiritual realm is that since so many spiritual problems are really spiritual consequences of human formation deficits or constraints, that when you resolve the underlying human formation issues, the spiritual consequences of those issues dissipate without additional attention.
Right.
Wow. Hope I can get all these notes out of it.
Yeah,
Well, remember, I'll send you not only, I have a transcription service, so I can generate an AI transcript of this too. So
that's awesome.
Don't worry about it.
Thanks. Okay.
Dr. Peter, when you said we have with this capacity in us in relation to the constraint release model, that's how you started that. When you're saying this capacity, you mean the capacity to release constraints, or
I'm talking about basically for the kind of natural healing, the healing in the natural realm, the innermost self has the capabilities to do that if constraints on the innermost self are released.
Yes, I understand. So it's really aligns with the Catholic Christian meta model of the person and its
innermost,
you know, recognition of the intrinsic dignity, the volition, the goodness, imago Dei.
Innermost.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. In other words, we're not just snow covered dung heaps.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
But we have this sense of ontological goodness that is unspoiled by original sin and its effects.
Yeah. It's
and the innermost self is a reflection of that in the natural realm.
Yeah.
It's not all of it, but it's I would say it's the reflection of that in the innermost, in the natural realm.
Yeah. We're just reading this awesome article by Pinkers. Do you know who I'm talking
pink
about?
Pink hairs.
He calls them pink hairs. It's really good. It's really good. It's so clear. And it really emphasizes and is resonant with the theology around the innermost self.
Well, one of the things that will be interesting to you is that on December 1st, a DMU student, doctoral student in clinical psychology, Christian Amalu, will be defending his doctoral dissertation, which is a grounding of IFS in the CCMMP. I'm the third reader. I'm on his dissertation committee.
Oh, wow, awesome.
So it's going to be really, it's really, really good stuff.
Oh, I'm so excited.
There's clearly a book or something that needs to come out.
Yes.
So that should be hitting, I would think, by the end of next year. And he may make his dissertation available as well. And once it's in final form, you guys would be super interested, I imagine, in that. So.
I would be. My research paper that I think I emailed you about maybe a month ago is trying to show that the multiplicity of the mind is consistent with Catholic understanding of the Imago Dei. And it's probably too long for me to be writing about in a small research paper, but that's where I keep wanting to go, is to show how IFS is consistent with Catholicism overall, you know, of course, correcting for any tendencies, especially with directions that Richard Swartz goes in with, right. No framework, right. To stay within, right. But the underlying fundamental principles, you know, and it's really exciting to meditate on and wonder how the goodness is held within the person and in the multiplicity of the person, as an untouchable, untouched by original sin. You know, you realize that the theology doesn't examine that, or it hasn't had the means to pull that apart, you know, and look at it. Were you trying to, am I?
No, I just want to make sure that we
got all our questions.
Harvest everything we need from him.
Well, I have another question. So if I look at the overarching way that Souls and Hearts works, we would say that there's education is part of it, right? We have our weekly thing. We read, we listen. So we're being educated as a means of change. And then we're doing experiential work, which is, right, like some similarities, right, with like Gestalt and stuff, like it has the awareness and presence in the moment, whatnot. So we're doing experiential things to educate ourselves. We are also doing it within community. So we're recognizing our interpersonal change is coming about, not as alone, not just by myself.
Yeah.
So there's education, there's experiential, there's interpersonal relationships. And would you add anything else to that?
Yeah, model? So accountability to your companions, I would add. Yeah. So it's kind of four levels of relationship within the RCC. And we're specifically talking about the RCC here, not Souls and Hearts broadly, but specifically.
Yes, that's correct.
So the first level is just the community as a whole. The second is your cohort, which is the class you came in. Then the two most important ones are your company and then your companions.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. It's going on all the levels of relationship.
Right.
And then working on your inner relationship and your relationship.
That's right. Then you get into the intrapsychic, and that's where we're working with those parts check-ins each day and the part sessions, which are a little longer. Well, what else would be helpful before we wrap up today? Like, what other questions do you have?
I think we got so much meat on that bone, we could write three papers. Let's see. Jungian existential.
How about this? When you think about the things that have most influenced you, aside from IFS, from the ones that we named, what would you say had those in your early training or say has stayed with you?
Psychodynamic, a lot of psychodynamic influence. And then also Sandra Paulson's ego-based or ego psychology-based parts work in EMDR. Yeah, because it was through EMDR that I got introduced to parts work, through Sandra Paulson's, Paulson. Her model of using Helen and Jack Watkins' ego state therapy models. And back in the day, I went to some of the same conferences with Helen and Jack Watkins. They were really old, back in the mid-90s when I was presenting at conferences for hypnosis. So their work indirectly has been impactful too. So
Okay. Well, we want to let you get back to your day. And we just want to know for you to know how much we appreciate, and I mean, the kind of things that you said in about 5 minutes could save somebody 30 years or maybe an adult life of spiritual misdirection, you know, understanding how to work interiorly, understanding the demonic. I mean, we went off on whole trains of deliverance type stuff in our life. And I loved your podcast or one of your talks that talked about saving the spiritual warfare for the demons, not for yourself.
On our ride to the airport about some of my experiences with deliverance.
Yeah.
It was a real roller coaster and some of it damaging.
Yeah.
You know, I just wanted to say one thing, get a quick word in that as you were talking about how you affect change and talking about the importance of the self and this whole understanding, I literally got emotional about it, which is really special for me because it just keeps breaking in on that, you know, those protectors who just really have a hard time believing that there's goodness in there, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's a central issue. I think shame is the primary natural level disorder we look at. That's really at the core of so much.
Yeah.
And that's why I did episodes 37 to 49 of the Interior Integration for Catholics podcast on this. It's so central to get at this sense of ontological inadequacy or the sense of essential badness, which, you know, is held by, you know, our exiles that are burdened with this shame and drive so much of what we do, even though we're not aware of it. So I would say that this kind of approach is very much a depth therapy or very much a depth approach, if we're not doing therapy like in the RCC, to being able to understand what has not been seen, heard, known, or understood. So question for you guys. You asked such great questions. And I was thinking, since I did record this, I did not record this with the intention of doing this, but how would you feel about me posting this in the ITC or in the RCC? Would that...
That'd be fine.
Let's do a little wrap up then. So it's been great to talk with you guys. Really enjoyed spending some time with you. I'll get you a transcript of this. And you'll have to let me know how the paper works out.
We'll share the paper with you. You'll get two of them because we each have to write their own. So you'll get a flavor from both of us.
Well, lovely. And please keep Souls and Hearts in your prayers. Keep the RCC in your prayers. The ITC, definitely be praying for you guys as well. So.
Thanks, Dr. Peter.
Thank you. God bless you.
Yep.
Bye-bye. Bye. Perfect.